Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more information about City Harvest, please visit chcus.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in CHCUS.
Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, would you tell that person near to you that Brother John thinks they look... Now, wait a minute. We're going to use the little Texas drawl on this. I want you to tell him, Brother John thinks you look real nice. Give him that nice. You're real nice. Yeah, yeah. We're glad. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thank God for the opportunity to be here. I have been associated with the anointing that is in this house for probably over 40 years. I've been in touch with this anointing. I remember in Singapore when there was about 300 in City Harvest there. And the last time I was there, there was 30,000. Amen. And I remember a time just like this. First time I came together with Brother Kong, I told him, I said, Brother Kong, we've got to get some more adults around here. Too many young people. you got to have adults. He said, I don't want that. He said, I want the young people and let them just grow up in the things of God and never know anything else. And I look back at my own life and I see the wisdom in that now with all the joy that I've had through the years. Those first years when I didn't know the Lord, they robbed me. But I'm in Christ now and been for many, many years. My good wife, Patricia, she preached the gospel all over the world. She went to be with the Lord the 29th day of this month, a year ago. 66 and a half years together. And I know she loved City Harvest so much, the many times she was there and times she stood on that platform. But I want to take a little time to bring you into some understanding. See, you can't possess anything that you don't understand. And the powerful things of God that God wants you to understand, the devil will be in the process of trying to make them, put a bad taste to them, create confusion over them. And because of that, we've seen a reversal in the body of Christ over the years that now we have more people needing money in the church than we have people that have more than enough money in the church. But you follow the history of Christianity back and you'll find that the people that served God were very wealthy people. The Bible didn't say that Abraham was rich. It said he was very rich. Great difference between rich and very rich. But the constant cry that all God wants is your money, all the church wants is your money, has brought a pale over the finances of God's people. And the worst thing is not that the world is saying it, but many Christians are saying it now. And what we say has an effect on what happens. So I encourage you to pull together with me to... some understanding. Jay, pull up for me, Mark, that fourth chapter on the understanding there, the candle. And before I get in my message, don't take this off my time. I think the scripture should come up on the platform. It's Mark 4 and is a candle.
Mark 4:21.
Can we see that up on the platform, on the screen, please, 4:21? And he said, now this is after Jesus had in the fourth verse, I think it is, he said, the seed that's sown in the field, if it's sown in different soils, each different soil, it would make a difference as to how it reacted. On the wayside, birds had eat it up. You had other what fell into weedy ground, and some of it fell into other kind of situations. But some fell into good ground, and it came forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then Jesus spoke again in the, I think it's the 17th verse. Is that where he says, and he speaks then of the, he speaks in that place about the fact that the word has harvest and seed power. That if it falls in the wayside, it'll birds will eat it up, and the same things travel. But then in that, we'll pull up now to that point where we had the candle. Because Jesus is now going to, he says, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a basket or under a bed and not be set on the candlestick? Very strange. We're talking about birds, wheats, roots, ground. And now all of a sudden we come up and we're talking about a candle. But the scripture tells us that your spirit is the candle of the Lord. And it searches out everything to see whether it's true or not. And so then he says here, if you're going to understand this thing of seed time and harvest, you're going to have to put your spirit man on the candlestick. It's going to have to be predominant so that you can understand what's taking place. Because it's hard to understand that a word spoken can have the same power as a wheat seed in the ground. But he said, you have to know this is in another dimension, so you're going to have to put your spirit man on the candlestick. But then he goes on, and the greatest misunderstanding of Scripture that I know anywhere on planet Earth takes place in the next few verses. Watch with me what's said next. And I had not planned to do this, but I hopefully, yes. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither is there anything kept secret, but it should be made revealed. Next verse. If any man have ears to hear. Do you see that word hear? It's word number 191 in the Strong's Concordance. It's the word understand. It says, if any man have ears to understand. Now, let me bring you, how could he use that? When I was a boy, my mother would come about dark sometimes. She'd say, Johnny, it's dark. It's time to come in. And so then, as usual, I would not come in. And she would come out back and she would say, did you hear me? Now, she wasn't asking if I had picked up the sound, the vibrations of the sound that she spoke. She was asking, did you understand what I said? It's time to come in the house. Said, did you hear me? She's not asking that I pick up the sound. She's asking, did you understand what I said? So when you see this with understanding here, let's go back again. And I had not rehearsed this, so it's going to take a little bit, but you'll love what you see. For there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither is anything kept secret, but it should be revealed. Now, go ahead. If any man have ears to hear or understand, let him understand. Next verse. And he said unto them, take heed what you understand, what you hear, with what measure you meet. Now people start saying, if you give with a teaspoon, you'll receive with a teaspoon. If you give with a shovel, you'll receive with a shovel. And that's taught from one end of the earth to the other. You pick up any book on teaching on this verses, you'll see that. But what he's saying is this, it's an implied subject. And he said unto them, take heed what you understand, with what measure you understand, with what measure you meet, what measure you understand in your meeting, it shall be measured to you. And to you that understand shall more be given. Okay. For he that hath understanding, to him shall be given, and he that hath not understanding, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Wow, wow, wow. So you see, we're going to talk about finances, and we're going to talk about finances as they operate in the kingdom of God. And just like your salvation did not come about the way that the world saves people, they might save them with a life raft that they buoy ring that they throw out to them, so they got saved. They might save them by sending an ice cutter out somewhere to where people have had a tragedy on the ice, and then they bring them out. That's the kind of salvation. But your salvation was something so totally different. It was something that took place 2,000 years ago, and that actually before the foundation of the world, it was set in motion that you would be born again. So being saved is totally different in the world's way of looking at things and the way God's children look at things if we understand. So now I'm going to bring you some understanding, and I'm going to pick up a message that I speak very few places. The places I've spoken it, there's been such explosion in finances, but I spoke it in the Jurong building when you were in Jurong in Singapore, making plans to make the biggest purchase I think that was ever made by a church in that part of the world. And I think that I find you probably at that same point, that something supernatural has to move into this house. The move that the Jurong church made could not have been made in the natural. It was a good-sized operation, but they stepped out and bought the largest convention center in Asia. Yeah. I mean, blocks under roof, 7 stories, if I remember correctly, 8 stories, 21 restaurants in the building. And even Joseph Prince was rented from the City Harvest in that building. It was unbelievable. No one could imagine that even being done. But it goes back to a point where something changed and businesses exploded. I mean, businesses just exploded. And promotions came, just boom, 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 boom. And certifications came to people that were waiting on certification, and government contracts opened up. It was too quick to almost keep up with what took place. But it can happen again here. It can happen right in your midst, because there wasn't anybody mighty, nobody noble in that church. They were just everyday folks that came, and something exploded, and it exploded in their finances. And I found from that day that you're not really free unless you're financially free. Do you hear what I said to you? You're not really free till you're financially free. So now I'm going to help you with understanding some things when it's time that you make out your envelope, some things you understand about what's taking place. How does God establish value? How does God establish value? Now, every time you give an offering, you put something in that and you mark a place on here, and according to the Bureau of Standards in America, that will determine an amount that you have given. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. But there's a supernatural realm where some other thing is being done, and the accounting there is totally different than it is here on planet Earth. Right. Now, I'm going to give you a little project. Do you have time today? Yes. I'm going to give you a little project. I'm going to ask you to sell a cow. Can you imagine yourself? You would get on your kind of, you'd probably wear not your best clothes, but you'd have the cow here, and you'd probably want to clean the cow up. It's time to sell the cow. And but you're going to sell the cow to God. Okay, now a little bit different now, because you don't have a motivated buyer. Because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And then here, just one step beyond that, not only does he own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but you're standing there with a cow that belongs to him. Because the Bible says over in Psalms 50, verse 10, "For every beast of the field is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Remember, God owns the cows. You're trying to sell him. Right. Now, those kind of thoughts do not enter our mind by themselves. Right. Years and years of teaching and talking with people and discussing with some of the greatest Christian minds that I know that were available to me. How does this thing work about finances? What is that link between where we are and between God is, and what's really taking place in that point where we break through the natural and we penetrate the supernatural? Because in the natural, giving to the church, there won't be a big move at the in your where's your capital here, Sacramento. There won't be a big move in Sacramento. It says, oh, so-and-so just gave to the Lord. We need to see that they get some money back. That's not the case. But if you can know what happens when it penetrates past the natural into the supernatural, you will have an understanding that most people in this city don't have. So anyway, we go a little bit further. It says, God processes thoughts totally different than we do. Isaiah 55:8, and I skipped a verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Now watch, you've just hit infinity. As the heavens are higher than the earth, it's an infinite distance. It's out of this realm, out of this dimension, into a supernatural dimension. It's a distance like you cannot grasp that moves. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God does not establish value the same way we do, because God has no shortage.
Wow, that's good.
If you were to take a piece of gold to God and say, how much is that worth? The Lord could not tell you how much it was worth, because he has gold. The streets are made of gold. The golden candlesticks, golden. And Jesus shows up at in the book of Revelation with a golden girdle on, not electroplated. Now watch what I'm trying to tell you. There is so much wealth with God that he can't establish wealth, because the establishing of the value of something has to do with the shortage of it.
Wow, that's good.
The shortage of it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there is no shortage of anything with God.
Yeah.
But he has a way of establishing value. He can discern value. But he does it by looking at what you feel it's worth.
Yeah.
What you feel it's worth.
Yeah.
Because in Mark 12:41 through 44, the Bible says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. Now, here he is at the temple. Everyone that I know, all the Bible teachers I know, if they said, Jesus just went into the treasury, where do you think he went? Well, he went over with the theologians. Well, he went over where the praise was going up. No, he said, and Jesus went over against the treasury. He went into where the people were giving the money. And he beheld how the people, now watch, not how much.
Yes.
He wasn't looking at how much. He was looking at how they gave it.
Wow.
He was looking through the envelope into their heart. Isn't that amazing? When you would just take a minute and stop and think about this, you're in a whole different mechanism. And people render quick opinions about how God feels about money, how the church feels about money. And really, they don't understand that in the supernatural realm, God does not set value on money. You set the value on the money. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow woman, and she threw in 2 mites with make a farthing, a very paltry little sum. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast in more than all they that cast into the treasury. Now, right here, if a person wants to find a mistake in the Bible, there's a mistake right there. You understand what I'm saying? It's a mistake, because if they threw in, these rich people were throwing in thousands, and she throws in 2 pennies, and Jesus has the audacity to say she gave more than they gave, it's just a mistake on its face mathematically.
Wow, that's good.
Do you follow? But now you have to realize that she has passed through a natural realm, and now she's into a supernatural realm.
Wow, wow, wow.
And the God of that has everything now puts a value on what this woman has done, but he doesn't put the value on it because of how much it is. He puts a value on it because of what it means to her. You pick that up? See? He says, For all they did cast in of their abundance, their surplus, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Let me say this. When a person has given it all, they have given more than Mr. Bezos, with all respect to him. And I thank him for all the comforts and things that he affords me. I'm not upset with Mr. Bezos. But if for instance, him and his wife just separated and he released to her half of his fortune, leaving them the two richest people in the world instead of this one. Now, that, oh boy, that's a lot of money there, quite a giver. But it's not the giver that this woman was, because she gave it all. She gave it all. Then people have said to me, well, Brother John, does God call on you to give it all? He didn't call on this woman to give it all. Why would God call on me to give it all? Well, to see if you would. No. John, the second chapter, the last verse says he needed not that anyone testified of man, because he knew what was in man. He knows whether you would give it all or whether you wouldn't.
That's good.
He doesn't have to ask you to do it to know whether you would or not. But let me say, there is somebody that knows whether you would or not on earth, and that's you. See, I mean, and she said, well, what if God were to ask you to give it all? I said, I don't think he'll ask me to give it all. Well, would you give it all? Well, yeah, I'd give it all. Well, what if he asked you to do it? Well, I don't think he'll ask me, because he knows, he sees what's in me. He made me, he recreated me, he made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. He put the mind of Christ in me, and when they asked him to give it all, he gave it all. Are you picking up what I'm trying to say to you? Now watch this with me, please. The value Jesus places on anyone's offering is calculated different than we calculate. For God looks into your heart to see what value you place on your offering. Now, when you try to determine what is a highest value, what is the highest possible value? Well, would it be a trillion? Would it be a 100 billion? You know the ultimate value? There is a word for the ultimate value, for anything that comes to the ultimate value. Now watch what I'm saying. There is a word that measures what is the ultimate value, whether it be of finances, whether it be of effort. See, because here's what it is. When you look at 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for so much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood. The most valuable thing in the universe is the blood of Jesus Christ, and God quantified it. He said it was precious. So now we come to the point, what was that woman's two mites? It was precious. You see, because when you come to that which is in your estimation, as you start to give, well, I'll give a third. I'll give 10%. I'll give 5%. Well, I'm going to give this. Now, I'm going to give this. This would be precious. This would be a precious amount to me. Do you follow? There's something in your finances. There's something in your service that would come to the point that it's precious. And that is the value that God just... Everything moves when precious moves. Everything moves. Now, I want to bring something else to your attention real quickly. This woman wanted something. Now, your translations will say, and she, like in that 44th verse, and she of her penury, or she of her poverty, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. The word is want. The word that is there is want. And she of her want. Now watch this. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but now you're going to quantify why she gave it. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She was giving to God because she wanted something.
Wow, that's good.
She wanted something. Well, that's a poor motive. Well, that's what God had when he died for you. Wow. He had a poor motive. He gave... Wow. The best. He gave the precious so he could have you. See, giving to receive is, we just get in our mind that there's something wrong with giving to receive. I should give because I want to give. The truth is, before I met Jesus, I didn't want to give. I wanted to take.
Come on. Yeah.
But now I'm in a whole different position, because now when I want something, I know that if it worked for this woman here, it can work for me. So many times, if I have something that I want, I will take and set aside a gift to the Lord as a seed for that. But now sometimes it's not that much, because I can do or not do with it. But when it's something that I have to have, when it's something that has to change, I move to a precious gift. I'll give something that can only be described as precious to me. You follow? It's a word that we just don't know how to really drop into our lives properly, but it is a word that describes an intangible thing. You can't put a number on it.
Correct.
What's precious to you, John? Well, it might not be precious to you. This woman, it was two mites that came forth. Are we grasping anything at all?
Yes.
See, now, I said something about giving to get. And immediately people say, we should not give to get. Well, we need to get. Well, it's late. It's too late. Hannah, the poor soul, she had the audacity to think that she could give something to get something from God.
Yeah.
What kind of blasphemy is this, Hannah? Well, 1 Samuel 1:9 says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. And after they had drank. Now Elijah the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord, if... Now Hannah, you're about to make a mistake. If thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but you'll give thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto him... unto the Lord all the days of his I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall not a razor come upon his head. Do you see what's happened here? Hannah wanted something, and what did Hannah do? She promised the most precious thing you can imagine, because a woman that for years has seen another woman in the house back in the time when there were concubines with child after child after child, and her breast aches for a child. And finally she says, God, give me this thing that I want, and I'll give it back to you.
Yes.
The most precious thing Hannah had was the possibility of having a son. And she has that son, and her and her husband go home. And in that 19th verse, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped the Lord, worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now, this is a woman that has given to get. She actually did what God did. He gave to get.
Wow.
Do you follow? It's nothing wrong with it. There's something wrong with it down here where we live. But in that realm, if you can break through into the supernatural, giving to get is a part that takes, something takes place all the time in the supernatural realm.
Wow.
Her womb was opened. Wherefore it came to pass that when the time was come came about after Hannah had conceived, and she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah and flour and a bottle of, some say grape juice, some say wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. But this is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story, because when you get over into Luke 6:38, it tells us, given it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
What has Hannah done? She's given. So she has a right to something. She has a right to have it given back to her, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again.
Yes.
And then you read Samuel 2:5 in that translation is the new, the NIV readers, the NIV readers edition. It says, those who were full hired themselves out for food. But those who were hungry are hungry no more. The woman who couldn't have children has seven of them now. So what did she do? She gave to get. Did she give what she could afford? No. She gave what she would probably be nothing more precious to a woman that long aching for a child than to say, just give me that child and I'll give him back to you. The precious moved and the hand of God moved. The precious never moves but what the hand of God moves. And it didn't just happen in Bible characters' lives, because the truth is the book of Acts has never been closed. We're still in the Bible. Your Bible characters, as much as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and everyone else is, that's not finished yet. The book of Acts is being written. You're a part of it. And you have standing like Hannah. You have standing like Jesus whenever he gave it all that he might have you. I mean, it's a peculiar situation we're in. So she has now the son. But moving a little further, are you learning anything?
Yes.
Hannah gave that she might have a son. And now I'm going to say this, it's so powerful. When the precious moves, the hand of God moves. Yes. I've never seen the precious move that the hand of God didn't move. I've seen situations that were impossible. I came away and I said to Pat, we're in for it now, because I don't see how that'll ever happen. And it happens, because it won't be according to my faith, but it'll be according to your faith. And it'll happen exactly the way that you ask it to happen if you can come past the valuable and move into the precious. And when your giving moves into the precious, the hand of God moves. Phew! Well, think a little bit further with me. A widow woman moves the hand of God into an empty barrel of meal. Watch with me. 1 Kings 17, 8 through 16. And the word of the Lord came unto him. This is now speaking of Elijah. Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now see, God is always setting up the miraculous. God is always setting up the miraculous. The prophet comes to town. He's going to have a new place that he's going to be receive his sustenance. Okay, what's it going to be? Going to be with a king? Where's it going to be? With a rich merchant? No, we're going with a widow.
Come on now.
See, it's a setup. Do you understand what a setup is?
Yeah.
I mean, he could have said, you're going down there and you're going to be with this rich merchant. He sells camels. He's the biggest camel salesman in the country. And he's going to sustain you. No, we're going to a widow. And when are we going? In fat times? No, we're going in a famine.
Yeah.
To a widow.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, come on. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it. Now watch. I want to stop there a minute. The most valuable thing in the city that day was water. But God's got water. I mean, it didn't seem, nothing changed. I mean, here's this most valuable thing in the city. And the woman gives it to the guy and nothing changes. Not a thing happens, because it's not precious to God. Are you watching?
Yeah.
Just stay on the thought with me a minute. And he rose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate, and he fetched me a little water in a vessel that I may drink, the 11th verse. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks. May go in and dress it for me and thy son, that we may eat it and die. Wait a minute. The foulest criminal in America, when they go to electrocute him, he has a right. He gets a last meal. I mean, the last meal is a very, very special thing. I mean, it's a right that the worst of the society has the right to. It's precious, that last meal before a person dies. Now the man of God can help her. Because we're going past the valuable. This woman's got something precious. She's got a last meal for a dying son. Oh, are you learning anything? And now Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, continue with your plan, but make me," he didn't say make the cake and then give me a piece of it. He said, "Make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after for me and for thy son." The precious now has moved. The precious has now moved because that dying son's last meal, taking a piece of that meal to make it and making this man of God, the audacity of him to ask for that. Right. But I'm going to tell you what, many a person would be wealthy in the church if pastors had enough gumption to challenge them to the precious and challenge them to their best. I've heard it said, if everybody will give some, it'll be enough for the meeting. And they're right. If everybody will give, that's not the issue of the money issue in the church. It's not to meet the budget. It's to see finances back into your hands. See, in the church, the philosophy of the church, I pastored for 26 years. Okay, we're going to build a new building. Okay. How many people are here with let me get somebody here, with your family. How many of you are here with your family? Four. Well, we're going to build a new building, so what do we need? You need you guys to buy four pews? No, we need you to buy 14 pews. Because you got to buy pews for the ones that aren't here yet. Do you see that? Enough would not be enough. The church can't move forward. We can't get out of this building unless you have a breakthrough. Because when we build, we're not going to build for, say this, what, 7,500 people here. We're not going to build for 100 people. We're going to build for 800 people. Now, are you picking up what I'm saying? It can't operate like the world system. Because the world system operates on what you can afford. And you guys can afford an 800-seat auditorium. Not in Orange County. But if the supernatural moves into your finances. If you have exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think for. And that's what the Lord promises. But it doesn't come with the natural. You've got to move things into the supernatural. You've got to move up into the place where the precious is moving. Yes. Are you picking up on that?
Yes.
You're not going to get a new building with four seats.
Come on.
It's going to take 12, 14 seats for the two of you. I don't know. How are we going to do that? Well, we got to have something supernatural happen for you first.
Yes.
Not after we're in the building, but before we're in the building. Something supernatural has got to happen. Now, how many people do you have to have? Seven? Four? Six? No. You need about 20 seats. Be ready for about 20 seats is what's going to end up. You guys are going to have to buy 20 seats. Do you understand? That's why they say all preachers want is your money. No, honey, that's not it. But to get to the next place we're going.
Yes.
See, here's the truth. Salvation is free.
Yes.
But the postage is due every morning.
So good.
The postage is due every morning. It's not free. See, we talk about free salvation. Jesus paid for it. And we pay for it ourselves every time we go beyond the four seats. As long as we think four seats, we're just stay where we're at. But if we're going somewhere else, that's 18 seats, 20 seats. Are you seeing it's got to go through the supernatural or it's not going to happen? If your finances operate the way everybody else's in this town operates, You're not going to that next level. But if you can come to where the pressure starts moving in your midst, the attention of God immediately comes on the room. I watched it. I watched the people that could, I mean, just some of them still in short pants in the early years of your, and your churches. Let me say this. Your church goes around, the roots go around the world. Into probably one of the greatest churches that's ever been in the history of the world. You've got that DNA. But something happened one day that they realized we can have exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think.
Yes.
Whew, are we learning anything?
Yes.
See, now the woman, fear not, go and do as I said. Make me a little cake first and bring it unto me. After, make for thee and for thy sons. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail till the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She didn't go according to the say of the financial advice of the day. Said, you're going to do this according to what God said. And God says, and she and he in her house did eat many days. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of meals. She, her household, and the prophet. And prophets in that day, they had an entourage that went with them from place to place. One prophet didn't just show up. There'd be a half a dozen people would show up with that prophet. And they all had more than enough. Are you gasping this? Yes. When the precious moves, the hand of God moves. You know, King Solomon moved God's hand with the precious. He moved God's hand with the precious. You know, you don't understand about King Solomon. This, I hardly ever hear anybody bring this out. But these were tight times for him. He was finishing the temple and the palace and the walls around the city. And he had already had a cost overrun once. The 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, his daddy takes a second offering for the temple. He was now just finishing it. And a second offering had to be taken, 1 Chronicles 29. Solomon sacrifices at Gibeon, 1 Kings 3:3-5, New Living. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David. Except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. The king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. 1,000 burnt offerings. Now watch this with me, please. Only one offering was required. One lamb to the house. He brings 1,000. But see, everybody just stops there. No, here's what he did. He gave a lamb and 990 seeds he dropped into the ground.
Come on.
Do you see that? Yeah. The one was required, but 990 seed. This was a staggering gift that he brought.
Yeah, right.
The scripture, it's hard to just explain what an impact that was, that 1,000 burned. You can hear the little hoofbeats of them coming over the hill. Solomon's coming. Everybody else is carrying their sacrifice over their shoulder. He comes with this tremendous 1,000 sacrifices. Whew, I wonder if you just really are grasping that. But what happens then? That night, 5th verse, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream. Now, most of you have had God speak to you. That's one of the nice things about the filling of the Holy Ghost. Seems like after the filling of the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden you realize God's talkative. I mean, that was for several years. Pastored for a number of years, built a great church, wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't think God had anything to say. But I'm telling you, he's a talker. He'll talk to you. He'll come in the night. But watch this. After 1,000 gifts were given, he comes that night to the Lord, appeared unto Solomon in a dream. Now, what does he usually do when he talks to you? Tell you something he wants you to do for him? Huh? Here, listen to what he says. The Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? Ask, and I'll give it unto you. When has God come to you and said, what do you want? Child of God, I'll tell you, when the precious moves, God begins to move totally different in your life. Totally different in your life. Pastor's wife. I remember in the Jurong building, there was a time I spoke, I believe it was this message. And as I spoke, you made an unbelievable gift to God. It shook everything. I mean, here you were just a young lady, all kind of debts, but you had a little secret account you were holding back. You're trying to get you a car. And you brought that precious and you put that precious in. I remember that day that the giving was so strong there that the money was literally being thrown over the balcony. They couldn't get downstairs fast enough with it. It was like raining money. And you walked and rode buses and did one thing and the other. But today you have a dynamic business. And you speak back again when you talk to me about how that night, something changed in your life. I can take you back to a place just like that in my own life when things changed in my life. Dr. Morris Cirillo, he brought me to a time that I finally just took and I moved into the precious in my giving. It looked like I was a fool. But I ended up with 27 years free on television over the whole world. Three times a day, 5 days a week for 27 years. Never paid a penny for it. Are you learning anything? Let's go a little bit further. That same night. Are you learning anything? I hope it's not chopped up for you. I'm just not just flowing it. I'm trying to, like, almost fitting you for a suit that you can get in this thing and that you can get out of this building.
Yes, amen.
And listen, there's a building out there somewhere. There's a building out there somewhere that's calling. It's calling into the night. Somebody save me. Get these devils out of here. Somebody save me. If you don't think buildings don't talk, I've had them talk to me. I've been by houses before and had them say, you're going to live here someday, son. I'm telling you, when you get into this thing I'm talking to you about now, when you get into understand the precious, and when you move the precious, boom, God moves. I've never seen anything like it. Well, let's go a little bit further. Samuel's night went, okay. Breaking Jewish protocol. Whew. Luke 7, verse 2 through 9. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, they immediately brought this up, that he's worthy for whom thou should do this, for he loved our nation and built us a synagogue. How many of you know that's a very significant gift? It's a precious gift. Then Jesus went with them. Protocol broken. Jews never went into the house of a Gentile. But when Jesus said, okay, I'll head to his house right now. But they brought news, of course, you know, that the young man had been healed. I hope you're learning something.
Yeah, that's good.
Whew. You know, the precious offering immortalized a woman one time. You know, people are still telling and writing about a lady 2,000 years later. Mark 14, 3 through 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Very precious. Top value, very precious. Well, what's so precious about it, Brother John? Secular writers will tell you it was her dowry. It was her dowry. Was she going to have a proper marriage, or was she just going to be just another one that got married somewhere? She had a dowry. And how valuable was it? About 300 days labor. 300 days labor it would cost for that thing. She comes with something very precious. A box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And break the box and poured it on his head. And when some of the had indignation within themselves. Said, why was this waste of the ointment made? What kind of a question is that on the feet of Jesus that the ointment went and some in the crowd could think it was a waste? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. That's 300 days labor. And have been given to the poor. And they murmured. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you verily have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She said she had done what she could. Ooh. There's something about the precious and coming to where you've done what you could. Not the least you could, but done what you could. The precious has moved. And she coming aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done will be spoken of for a memorial of her. That woman, still today, people are talking about that woman. She's made it into the pages of the most powerful book on earth. When the precious moves, the hand of God moves. Yes. Well, are you learning?
Yes.
Let me move away from this. Move away from my notes. The Lord spoke into my spirit. Give me just 1 second. The precious. How do you come to that point of the precious? You take Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. You have the picture? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what is he saying? Thank you, God, that I get to go to the cross. Father, I've been looking forward to this. You know what he's saying? Let this cup pass from me. Lord, is there a plan B? Is there any way that I don't have to go to the cross? I don't want to be associated with all the sin of the world. Please, is there not another way? You know what the problem is? He's looking at the price. He's looking at the price he had to pay. As long as you look at the price of an offering, it will trouble you. But he lifted his eyes, and Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 2nd verse, I believe it is, it says, am I right on that, Jay? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. When he saw, it wasn't when he saw the price, but when he lifted his eyes and saw the prize. Oh, I tell you, whenever the people across the whole world, any time that they can pass by that what is valuable and move into what's precious. I mean, now get your eyes off that cost and get your eyes on the prize. It comes 30-fold, 60-fold, but then watch this with me. 100-fold. Preachers are just preaching everywhere you're going to get the 100-fold. We're going to pray the 100-fold, the 100-fold. The 100-fold is very select. Pull it up for me. I have it in here, Jay, but pull it up. I've left my notes where the 100-fold... You know where I'm looking for. Are you okay if we teach like this?
Yes.
I got notes. I still have notes here, right here. Still have some notes.
It's going to be Mark 10, verse 28. Mark chapter 10, verse 28.
Start reading it.
It says,
then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee.
Now watch this. Peter has now said, Lord, we've given everything. What about us? And then Jesus says, the significant has moved. Here's what happens.
And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, There is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or
all
mother
precious,
or wife or children
precious,
or lands
precious,
for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Now, do you see what we just heard? When the precious moves, that's when the hundredfold happens. It doesn't happen every time some preacher calls, well, everybody that makes an offering of $1,000 tonight, by Christmas you'll be debt free. You've heard it on TV. And then they pray the hundredfold. No, the hundredfold comes when the precious moves. When that thing comes out of your hand that you call precious. I might not call it precious. It might not be precious to me. But when it's precious to you, it becomes precious to God. And there's nothing more valuable in the kingdom of God than anything that will be marked as precious. Because when he set that standard, he said, the precious blood of Jesus. Are you grasping that? Well, what are we going to do today? I fight to try to stay home. But I continuously have the Lord speak to me to another place I need to be. I've always been very, very interested in the things of City Harvest. And this church here now, you've invited me to come here. But what can I leave with you? What can I leave with you? I can leave with you the most important thing that I know. And that is that when the precious moves, the hand of God moves. Now, you may never want to hear it from me again. But I find this. I find there's plateaus. I remember when the first time I gave $100 in an offering, $100, it was like the second coming had taken place. I mean, $100, Patty, we gave $100. Now those were days when superintendent of a building project down in Houston, I made $50 a week. $50 a week. Are you picking up? But it was precious. A little bit we'd put aside, and now the $100. But it's a threshold. And then there's always something ahead. And there's a $500 threshold. But there's something at the $1,000 gift that just moves you into a whole new dimension. First time we ever gave $1,000, gave it to Dr. Morris Cirillo's ministry. I can remember I almost wanted to jump out of the window and end my life. I thought I had destroyed myself. But then breakthrough after breakthrough came until there was exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think. I want for nothing. My children, grandchildren, what do you want for birthday? I don't know. And they bring stuff and it just gets put aside. I've got everything in the world there is to have. What happened though? I learned about the precious. And the quicker you can put a precious offering into the things of God, the quicker you're going to move into a new financial dimension. Now, that's not the most popular message in town today. But the most messages that are in this town today will be forgotten in 30 days. But those of you that move the precious today into this house, you'll remember it just like sister remembers it. The first thing you said to me in the car, you took me back to Jurong years ago as you stood a little girl in the balcony. And made that precious. And look at how your life has changed. This day, as this house begins to look towards taking a piece of this land, and don't you think there's not going to be trouble when you reach for it? Because they're going to think you're getting out of your place. This city has a place for the church. But there's a new day coming. If the precious moves today, finances will start coming into your life. What you thought was a big offering now will be just another offering in the future. Doors will open. I mean, wealth can come from any different place. Honey, I mean, You just don't know where all wealth can come from. It's amazing what people tell me, that wealth comes into their hands. But if the Holy Ghost starts moving money towards you, everything will change in your life.
Amen.
And on top of that, this church can move into the position it's supposed to be in because it takes people with an extraordinary ability to attract finances.
True.
Yeah.
True.
That's the kind of people that will build this great church that's coming. Now, I don't know where your precious is. I don't even know whether you want to participate in this. That's up to you. But I do know that I'm going to speak exceeding abundant above all you can ask or think over this offering today. If you need a pen, if you need an envelope, this is the one thing that Satan hates. It just hates the envelope. And then you watch what it's done. They crowded the church down to where usually 3 minutes is to give to the offering. Why? Because people don't think it's spiritual. Money is spiritual. Wait a minute. Just hold on a minute. I'm going to tell you a little bit some more about money. You know what money is? Your money is your life. Given back to you in a greater dimension than you laid it down. When you've worked 8 hours and you get your check, that's your life given back to you in a greater form than you laid it down. Because when you laid down that 40 hours, you were one-dimensional. But when you come into your financial realm, see, like this morning when I had breakfast, 250 children in Managua, Nicaragua had breakfast, and they've been doing it for over 30 years now. They've been eating breakfast with Sister Pat and I. Not in my financial, not in my physical dimension, because I can't get down there to feed them. But in my financial dimension, I'm able to be there. And as God increases your finances, you become more and more omnipresent on the earth. Catch this. When you increase your finances, something spiritual has happened. It's not something natural, because now you can move across this earth. You can go from one place to the other. Yes, you're valuable in your physical form, very valuable. But in your financial form, you become omnipresent. You can take and claim brick and mortar out of this city. You can put food on people's tables around the world. Every time there's a disaster, my wife and I, for years, have sent in an 18-wheeler of water. One of the first things to come to those disasters. Feed the hungry sees to it that our 18-wheeler of water rolls into New Orleans at the Dome when they had that tragedy there with the storm. Into Houston, whenever that great flood. Down at Wendell, you can call that pastor. We rolled an 18-wheeler of water in there. I couldn't hardly feed 4 kids and a wife. And now I feed people all over the earth. Why? Because I learned how to turn my natural into supernatural with finances. And if you give electronically, that's fine. But please have it in the form. Just note it, what you're doing in your envelope, because I'd like to know that this would be prayed for again and again and again. As the testimonies start coming of the hundredfold, the new houses, the new jobs, the new contracts, all those things. I hope this morning that we got to understand a little better what takes place when an offering's taken. Natural is being turned into supernatural. Natural is being turned into supernatural. So you can bring it now. Take your time. Not going to rush you. And then I'm going to just pull these together and pray the prayer. Am I missing something?
People online,
excuse me. Please forgive me. I'm so old school. There wasn't nobody online when I first started. But you're online. You right now can be involved. That precious, it pertains to you too. And that mammoth increase, I speak it into your life just as well. And you take an on the screen... It shows you exactly how you reach out, how you make communication here to be a part of this offering online, please. And a lot of you are online, I know that. Forgive me. I'm kind of a dinosaur. I'm still left over from another age. But thank God you're out there watching, and thank God you were blessed. But now you participate also. Wherever you are, you'll bring it forth now. You bring it forth now. And I'm going to lay hands on it, and I'm going to speak over your offering on the internet, those of you watching by online. Yeah, just keep it right there. It'll be good. There still might be some more happening in the house. If you haven't done what God said to do yet, we're not in need of music yet. Just be there. You can stand there. You're good there. Stand there if you want to. You peaceful with everything? Yeah. Is there anyone else? Lift your hand if you're not quite ready yet. If I didn't get... Okay. We're waiting on you. We're waiting on you. You know, somebody might say, Brother John, I just didn't do what was precious, but there's still time. Just make out another envelope. Run up here. You say, I'm going to speak that increase. I remember many a time when I had my offices down in Haltom City, Texas, offerings would come to me for other ministries. And it'd be in an envelope. They'd say, would you pray over this before you send it on to so-and-so? I'd say, sure. So there was some money that went through my office and then into other places. But you just bring it now. Set it here. Is that everyone? Wave at me if there's anyone left yet. Okay, still going here. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to rush you. Is this for drinking?
Yes.
I was in a church one time and I picked up a little bucket of water and drank it, and I realized I'd drunk up the whole baptistry. Relieve a little tension sometimes, a little laughter is good. Things get kind of tightened up, and we have a little joke. Amen. Jay, honey, lift that up for Pop, that I can put my hands on it.
Is there anybody else?
Still coming. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? You're going to build a new building. How many chairs do we need? 25. Yeah. And you'd think, well, I got four people coming. I need four chairs. No. We have something for those that nothing has been prepared. Okay, would you stand and put your hands out this way, please? Your peaceful pastor. Father, I thank you there's more than enough.
Yes, God.
And in the strong name of Jesus, I speak this comes back 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold. And it's done in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.